to our business meeting on record. This is item I. This is the trial court trust fund allocations 2% reserve, and I believe there is public comment on this, and we've also received written comment as well. But before we get there, I understand Judge So wishes to be heard. Well, that was you, Judge, for those remarks.
Second.
All my friends. I hate to revisit item four again, but it's come to our attention that it's important that some of this money be allocated, and so I'm going to move to reconsider item four.
Second.
And Jody, could you please explain why some of this money
One moment. Let's just, for the record, this is item G, number four, the recommendation, and Judge So makes the motion, seconded by
H.
Thank you. Seconded by Judge Rosenberg, yes, and Judge Jackson and Judge Ellsworth. The question is put to you. Go ahead, Zotko.
The motion is to reconsider the item. I think we have to vote on the motion to reconsider, and then the floor is open.
Right. So, Jody, could you speak to the motion, to the basis for the motion to reconsider?
Yes. We believe that the $6.769 million to be transferred for the Phoenix Financial System, for that funding to transition from the trial court trust fund to the
has joined the conference
improvement modification fund, should be deferred, as that would be consistent with the concerns expressed by the Department of Finance.
Has joined the conference.
However, the balance of that $71.923 million, which equates to $65 million. Zlatko, what's
154,000.
Yes, the council can and should act on that, as we are currently already expending those funds, and there are some time sensitivities with regard to the expenditure of those funds, and how those funds, the $65 million, is broken down is in your attachment F. If you need to have some of that detail.
It was all the programs on the slides.
Absolutely.
Right. And even further detail is in F. Right.
Yes. Okay. And some of the sensitivities are, and I'll give you a quick example, the CJP insurance. We have a contract for that. We have been able to extend that contract for a month, but we need to pay for that insurance in the very near future and cannot wait till January.
Thank you. So that's the basis for the motion to reconsider. Was there, and there was?
And just for the record, I had that explained to me. I was the one who made the original motion. I had it explained during the break, and I agree and I understand and in supportive of that.
All in favor of the motion to reconsider?
Aye.
Any
and
opposed?
I abstain.
Abstain. Thank you. And
so now I'll make the motion.
The
if
motion
that's
carries, and now, Judge So, you may proceed on that motion.
I move that the council allocate $65.154 million in one-time funding from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund for various programs in support of the trial courts, and direct the AOC to request the council for augmentations to the $4.5 million litigation management program allocation if needed.
All in favor?
Aye. And Chief, if I can, with that motion, the council may wish to act on recommendation 5 for the delegation now, since you are moving to expend $65 million from the Improvement Modification Fund.
Well, the motion carries, and that sounds like it's another motion to consider number 5. But let's be clear, though, the $65.154 is allocated on a one-time one-time basis for funding from the IMF, and the $6.769 million is deferred until January to be considered with items 1, 2, and 3 previously voted on.
That's correct.
So now there is a basis stated. So we'll need a motion to reconsider recommendation number 5 regarding appropriate designee.
I'll make that motion. And I'll second.
So Judge Jacobson makes the motion for reconsideration of number 5, seconded by Justice Baxter. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter carries. Now, the discussion regarding number 5, consider delegating to the appropriate designee this particular authority as described in item 5.
Chief, I would move that it be delegated to the administrative director as well as the chair of E&P.
Second.
That won't work.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have consulted with Mary Roberts, and to be consistent with the statute, the delegation should be to the administrative director, subject to guidelines established by the Judicial Council. And I would include in that motion of delegation that one of the guidelines be in consultation with the chair of E&P.
And I'll second that.
So do you withdraw your motion?
Yes.
I withdraw my second from Judge O'Malley's motion.
Thank you. So that's what
I'm
going to
clarify.
So Justice Baxter makes the motion that the appropriate designee be the administrative director of the court, subject to guidelines that are created in consultation with the Judicial Council.
And the guidelines would include consultation
with the chair of E&P.
I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you, Judge Jackson.
Question?
Yeah. Yes.
Does that include 6, 7, and 8? Those were some of the guidelines that were recommended.
20% limitation, reporting after the fact, and formalizing all of the guidelines to the council.
Would this be separately considered or something that is the AD considers subject to guidelines and in consultation with the E&P chair to recommend? Does this?
We could still work that. I mean, I think that the ADOC can take these as consultative to him in his management of the fund.
Agreed.
Okay. So that doesn't mean that we don't have to address that those were deferred to January, but at this time it doesn't sound like there's a need to visit recommendations 6, 7, and 8 in order to accomplish their intent if that is the recommendation of the ADOC subject to the guidelines in consultation with us and the chair of E&P.
Question?
Judge O'Malley.
Could I just understand the rationale why it can't be a co-delegation, why it should only go to the ADOC with consultation from the chair of E&P?
I think I can address that.
I'm sorry.
Government Code Section 77209 expressly says that monies deposited in the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund shall be administered by the Judicial Council. The Judicial Council may, with appropriate guidelines, delegate to the administrative director of the courts this administration of the fund. So, as one of the guidelines, we can include the condition of consultation with the
E&P chair.
With E&P as a limitation, in a sense, to the delegation.
Justice Baxter, if I may. The guidelines that could be adopted by the council now, if they're so inclined, are reflected at page 3 of the report, items 6, 7, and 8. Those are guidelines that would limit, if you will, the authority of the ADOC in making whatever actions he wants to make in terms of further pursuant to the statute. If he's delegated the authority, the guidelines could be adopted now by the council, 6, 7, and 8, and add to that the additional element of consultation with the chair of the E&P committee. That would take care of it now, so the guidelines would be in place. That is exactly correct. But then the action today would already have taken care of the language requiring appropriate guidelines. They could always be added to or changed in the future.
We have several options. One as adopting recommendation number 5, as stated on the record, or we could adopt and move to 678, do a motion for reconsidering, reopen, and use those as baseline guidelines for the implementation of transfer of money from the IMF.
For 5. Okay. So let's. I suggest we take number 5 now with the motion.
By Judge Spence.
As stated and seconded by Judge Jackson. Any more questions on that motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. That matter carries. Now we consider as a motion to reconsider the deferral of 6, 7, and 8 so that we may consider those as baseline guidelines for the administrative director as stated in recommendation number 5. Is there a motion to reconsider?
I'll move to reconsider items 6, 7, and 8.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Seconded by Judge Jacobson and Mr. Robinson. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Now I'll hear call the question on 6, 7, and 8, and it's open to discussion, if you wish.
I would move that we adopt 6, 7, and 8 as guidelines for the ADOC and add an additional guideline that the ADOC perform the function in consultation with ENP. The chair of ENP, mm-hmm. who will then in turn consult with ENP.
I would second that and add that I think it speaks to the spirit of oversight that we are seeking and transparency, and I think it would be very satisfactory not only the trial court working group, budget working group, but also in the spirit of the SEC report as well. So I would urge us to vote yes on that.
Thank you. Judge Ellsworth seconds that, gives a basis for it. Any further discussion?
I have a question.
Yes, Judge Jacobs.
What is contemplated in terms of the mechanism for keeping the council informed when these delegations occur and how they're carried out? What's?
I was going to address that after we get this, that there will be a report back regularly whenever there's activity out of the IMF fund as within the IMF fund pursuant to this delegated authority. So any further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Matter passes, and then as Judge Jacobson has raised, we'll hear a report back for movement within the IMF from program to program by the administrative director in consultation with the chair of ENP as delegated.
Yes.
You got cleaned up.
We'll make
cleaned
sure
up.
That's done.
Thank you.
Let's go to I.
Okay. Now we move to item I, and before we hear the substantive presentation, I will ask Justice Miller to call up those who have come to speak publicly on this issue and also remind counsel and the public that we have received written communications on this posted on the website, and you have access to those materials as well.
Thank you, Chief Justice. We have 6 members of the public that are here to comment on item I. We have allocated them a total of 15 minutes to be allocated 2.5 minutes to each, and the first is Mr. Conrad Bartlam, City Manager of the City of Lodi. Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chief Justice, members of the Council, my name is Conrad Bartlam. I'm the City Manager for the City of Lodi. I have submitted written comments prior to this meeting as well. Thank you for allowing me to address you and speak about the San Joaquin court request before you this morning. It has been made clear to me that funding this request is needed in order to keep all of the branch courts that exist within San Joaquin County open. Unlike other cities, Lodi has a bit of a unique situation in that we operate a Type 1 city jail. There are no other municipalities in the county that do so. Closing the court, which is adjacent to the jail, would have a significant impact on the Lodi community and the city of Lodi as well. Having the jail as part of the court complex allows us to remand offenders prior to their arraignments and therefore not require us to send them to the county jail prior to their appearance. Changing that, not only midstream in our budget cycle, but generally will be a very significant strain to the city. As a result, we believe that having the court and our jail operate in conjunction as it has for many decades is an appropriate level of public service and one that we don't want to see change. If the court does close, we will incur an enormous additional cost, cost of travel, cost of additional staff for transport, cost of overtime for police officers to make appearances. Many defendants won't find their way for transportation. We know that there's a higher likelihood of failures to appear if that were to be the case. More bench warrants will be a result. That then rises the level of crime within not only the city of Lodi, but the entire North County of San Joaquin, as it's the most proximate court available. We are able to hold and control in our jail prisoners. They don't then find themselves released because of overcrowding in the county jail, and it is an arrangement that works quite well.
30 seconds.
Those are my comments for you this morning. For this morning, I did, as I said, submit written comments as well. Thank you very much for your time.
Next is Ms. Karen McLaughlin, City Manager, City of Manteca.
Manteca. You showed you're from Southern California.
That's right.
Some of you have seen the commercials, I'm sure. Good morning, Chief Justice, members of the Council. My name is Karen McLaughlin, and I am the City Manager for the City of Manteca. I'm here in support of the request by San Joaquin Superior Court for supplemental funding for our courts. You've already heard and will continue to hear several speakers address issues specific to the operations of San Joaquin Superior Court. I'd like to more specifically address concerns we have as just one city in San Joaquin County, concerns we have relating to the cutbacks already experienced in San Joaquin County, as well as the impact other potential cuts could have. Manteca is a community of 68,000 people, and we're proud to house the courts for the South County. The South County comprises 34% of the entire population of San Joaquin County. The city of Tracy has already seen the effect of the closure of its courts, and now the city of Lodi faces the same fate. Manteca would be the next city affected by these cuts, which would have a significant impact on the fine people in southern San Joaquin County who need and deserve reasonable access to their judicial system. In addition to the potential closure of the Manteca courts, a more immediate crisis is already in play and will continue to grow should the supplemental funding not be approved. Without this funding, San Joaquin Superior Court will no longer be able to process any civil action cases. Although this may seem inconsequential when compared to the need to process criminal cases, please keep in mind that San Joaquin County has one of the highest home foreclosure rates in the state of California. Manteca, along with other cities in the county, has a close working relationship with banks and other lenders to utilize the civil courts process to abate nuisances in these foreclosed properties. 30% of homes in foreclosure in Manteca involve banks that utilize the civil process for evictions. Without this tool, abandoned foreclosed homes will continue to be vandalized, occupied by squatters who know there would now no longer be a legal way to remove them from the property and further destabilize our communities. The civil process is an important tool in protecting property values and safe neighborhoods, thereby reducing the likelihood of increased crime in these areas. We all recognize funds are limited, but I urge you to recognize the urgent needs today in San Joaquin County and approve the request for supplemental funding as proposed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin.
Thank you. Next is Mr. Leon Churchill, City Manager, City of Tracy.
Good Good morning, Chief Justice and Judicial Court. I am Leon Churchill, City Manager for the City of Tracy. I'd like to add my comments in your consideration for the funding request by the Superior Court. It was a year ago that I wrote the court about the closure and the potential closure, which has occurred, of the Tracy branch of the court system. And at that time, I wrote about how that defied the logic, and I want to present that logic to you. The closure of the Tracy Court disenfranchised approximately 110,000 people in southwestern San Joaquin County. There are 83,000 people in Tracy, 17,000 in Mountain House, and 10,000 in unincorporated areas. These are obviously tax-contributing individuals and residents to state and county treasuries. And a reasonable expectation, I believe, is due for the access to courts. In addition, San Joaquin County's population will triple over the next four decades based on State Department of Finance projections. So in sum, any contemplated funding reductions would be directed toward arguably the least resource county court system that also happens to be the fastest growing in California. This is counterintuitive and defies logic. These impacts, based on the closure of one branch, which I'll get to in just a minute, will be exacerbated with additional closures throughout the county system. For example, as a result of that closure, we know that in order to make adjustments, there were losses of officer hours and backfill costs increased with overtime and the like, equating to 1,600 hours on an annual basis. This is a budgetary impact of over $100,000, which, of course, would only be exacerbated with more branch closures. I do not believe that it is the intent of the judicial court to negatively impact local jurisdictions either economically or their ability to safeguard the communities they serve with any decision that you make. But I believe there would be unintended consequences if done so. Thank you for your consideration, and I look forward to a positive outcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Churchill.
Next, we'll hear from Mr. Manuel Lopez, County Administrator, County of San Joaquin. Welcome.
Thank you very much. And good morning, Madam Chair, Justice, and members of the Council. My name is Manuel Lopez. I am the County Administrator for San Joaquin County. I was asked by San Joaquin County court officials recently to speak on their behalf because any cut to the courts, not only does it affect the courts, it affects San Joaquin County as an entity, and I'm very pleased to be here on their behalf. Revenues from property and sales taxes, which are the county's primary funding sources, have plunged over 25% since the Great Recession started. Some of you may be aware that San Joaquin County region was the first in the nation to see the impacts of that recession and is just now beginning to see some recovery from that. In our office, both the district attorney and the public defender's office have been reduced by over 25% since the recession began. By over 30% since it began. In spite of decreasing revenues, efforts have been and continue to be made to work collaboratively with the courts to find creative solutions to continue services to both the courts and as well to other public safety areas in this county. Although occasionally it is necessary and has been necessary to eliminate services because of a lack of funds, I never forget that as a public agency, we are in the business of providing services to over 700,000 residents in San Joaquin County. We believe those residents deserve high-quality services, and a reduction of additional funds to this court as well as the county will affect most of those individuals. Thus far, the justice partner system in San Joaquin County has been able to manage, but barely, to work collaboratively through the court closures, staffing reductions, and other cost-saving measures. But the community is not being well served. The court's decision to stop processing small claims filed since September 1 of this year have affected both the courts and county services. In fiscal year 2011-12, the county initiated 430 small claim filing, which had a value of $1.3 million per year. We received revenue from the courts to process those collections. Clearly, when that revenue goes away, services must be reduced. Should the courts suspend processing civil cases as indicated in the funding request, we will not receive reimbursements to our sheriff's departments for processing services associated with those civil cases. And we will have to reevaluate the continuation of those duties by our sheriff's department. I would hope that many of you are aware of what's been going on in the city of Stockton. We believe that just the presence of patrol officers and in their vehicles has an effect on security for the community.
30 seconds.
In summary, then, Madam Justice, the materials that have been submitted by the courts to your counsel for consideration provide all the background and justification supporting the funding request, including the likely impact to the overall court system should the request be denied. Further reductions to the court system will have long-lasting implications to our region. Again, I urge you to support the request, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Lopez.
Thank you. Next is Mr. John LeBurk, City Attorney, City of Stockton.
Good morning, Your Honor, members of the Council. I'm John LeBurk, City Attorney, City of Stockton. We support the emergency funding request, and I wanted to briefly discuss four distinct impacts that the closure of small claims, the civil branch, and the traffic court would have on the city of Stockton in particular. The city of Stockton has a financial situation that is not a secret. We're struggling financially at a level that is somewhat unprecedented. The small claims function in San Joaquin County provides an opportunity for the city to collect various revenue, whether it be from utilities, taxes, licensing charges, and that's a very significant resource for us. We've filed over 200 cases in the last 2 years. Having that revenue be unavailable for us is a significant impact. Secondly, the city has a significant revenue source as well in traffic fines, running between $750,000 and $850,000 a year. The closure of the traffic court may jeopardize the collection of those revenues. Those revenues have been planned upon, have been used in our budget, and frankly, the loss of some increment of those is, again, another very large impact. The third impact affects my office in particular, and that is if there is a closure of the civil branch, litigation will still need to be resolved. Cases are filed against the city of Stockton, as they are for most cities, on a regular basis in the Superior Court. Those cases will have to be dealt with sometime. I have the ability to mete out services and handle these cases on a fiscal year by fiscal year basis, because they come in at a steady rate that we can manage. If we have 1 or 2 years of cases backing up, and then when the court reopens, all presented to us for being addressed at one time, I'm frankly not certain how we're going to deal with that. And that is a significant issue for my office in particular, and could result in us having to send cases outside that we would normally keep in-house. The third is I would hope that you would consider the services in Stockton and understand that this may have a significant impact on the psyche of our citizens who already feel underserved and demoralized by other incidents of, let's just say, a lack of service due to funding in our county. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, Mr. LeBurk.
Thank you. Next is Mr. Stephen L. Brown, attorney, law offices of Brown and Gassell, representing the San Joaquin Bar Association and attorneys of San Joaquin County.
Thank you, Judge Miller. Not to correct you, my partner's name is Gessel, but he'd be mad if I didn't. Madam Chair and Council, it's a great opportunity to address you today. I am the past president of the San Joaquin Bar Association, so really I'm here on behalf of the attorneys of San Joaquin County. I have an interesting perspective. I'm about an eight-year transplant from the Bay Area, having practiced in the Bay Area as an attorney for a number of years. I also have the opportunity to try cases throughout various counties. I don't think I've seen, and not to downplay the hardship on the counties as a whole throughout the state, but I don't think I've seen a state underfunded as badly as San Joaquin County. Now, I'm asking on behalf of the attorneys that the council approve the urgent needs funding from the 2% reserve in the trial court fund for San Joaquin County. Just a couple of quick points about the trenches and how it affects us in the trenches and our clients. The civil division has about 100 civil filings per month. That's complaints filed in the county. Prior to a year ago, we had 27 clerks working in the clerk's office doing civil filing and civil work. It was slashed to 22, then to 17, and now it's at 9. Without the funding, we're going to be slashed to less clerks than we have, which are 9 at this point. We're having problems with enforcing judgments, getting abstracts, writs of execution. If we have a situation where we have a judgment, we want to enforce it, 12 months down the road, it may not be worth anything. And so it's crucial that we get that funding to be able to take care of that. You've already heard small claims court has been impacted. The Tracy branch has been closed, but small claims as a whole, they're accepting the filings, but they're not setting trial dates. So in essence, it's as if it's closed. That's ineffective, and businesses will be impacted by it, and citizens that want recourse will be impacted by it. Conservatorships have been stalled as much as 12 months and will be impacted by that, as those are the most needy that need things set up to help them, the elderly. And that's something we just can't allow to happen. As a whole, just a final closing point, I know it's not that crucial, but having been the past bar president, it's sort of my incumbent responsibility to lure in good legal minds into the area of San Joaquin County. We're already faced with a lot of challenges that have been addressed to the council, but luring in legal minds to an area where our court funding is so drastically slashed that we can't file cases timely, that's going to put us behind the eight ball even more. And I think it's important to have that good legal group and camaraderie, and we need those minds in that community. And I want to thank you for your time. I hope you approve that urgent funding.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
That concludes the public comment on item I, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Miller. So we have presenting, we have Vladko Theodorovich, Stephen Chang, and also I understand we have additional speakers, jurists, and we'll call them up as they present. You may proceed.
Yes. Thank you, Chief. What I suggest is I'll give an overview of the process that was approved by the council recently, so just to remind you the context under which you'll be reviewing these proposals, and then I'll give a brief overview of each court. But when I complete that court, I think it would be appropriate at that point for them to come up and make the presentation and ask questions so that we can sort of keep it court-specific, if that's okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yes. Budget trailer bill this year amended existing government code that provides for the process of providing urgent needs funding. It required the council to set aside 2% of the trial court trust fund appropriation to meet urgent needs. The budget working group was given the task of providing a council options as to how to allocate that 2%. And the members of there was a subcommittee created of 8 members, 4 judges and 4 CEOs to do that. And we had many meetings, and ultimately that resulted in a process that was approved by the council, an amendment to the process that was approved by the council last year in October. At the end of the August meeting, there was the specific process delineated that I'll go through in a moment. The process that we have for funding urgent needs was unanimously approved, as mentioned there. And fundamentally, what we have is we create the 2% allocation based on a negative fund balance criteria. That was a carryover of the prior process, in so much as it was difficult to determine how would you determine what would be an allocation methodology when you don't have sort of fiscal dire straits, and the negative fund balance was the method that was determined to be the most equitable to determine that. The funds are only available for multi-years if there's a clear and convincing showing of need for the funds. We do have a court is asking for funds as it was received last year. The request for urgent needs, again, are defined as unavoidable funding shortfalls, unforeseen emergencies, and unanticipated expenses for existing programs. The process is that the courts that are requesting this first piece of the funding must submit by October 1st, and the council must make decisions by the end of this month, which they are doing at this meeting. The way in which the council proposed the process was that you could only get your maximum share at this effort at this point in the time. The amount that you could receive would be your contribution to the 2%. So it was limited to this first effort as the maximum that the council could approve was your share to the 2%. I would note that there's some questions because the council can only allocate 75% of the funds at this process, whether or not they could only then receive 75% of their contribution. We at staff have interpreted that to be you could receive your full amount to the extent the 75% funding amount was not overprescribed. Therefore, just to make sure it's clear, if there was $20 million as part of the 75% and there were more courts than requesting the $20 million, then you would prorate it. But if we don't have requests above the amount that's set aside for this effort, then we could allocate their full share to that court, if that makes sense. So, So again, there's a second process after the 75% is considered, and the council can allocate for urgent needs, for unforeseen emergencies or unanticipated expenses between October 31st and March 15th. And anything that's not allocated as of March 15th is then pro rata allocated to all the courts that contributed to the total. All requests have to be submitted 25 days before a council meeting so that we have time as staff to review all the fiscal information. What is this one? We are looking at how to allocate these funds. The share that was contributed to the total was based on your portion of the general fund, or the trial court trust fund and general fund based allocation. So everybody was treated equally in terms of their contribution. They would then be receiving any distribution in the same fashion. So now we have King's Court's request. They are requesting they have a estimated negative fund balance of $2.9 million. That is based on them having an expenditure for a case management system of approximately $2.15 million. In our analysis, we did identify that they have a base funding shortfall of $143,000. So this is just a snapshot of their overall revenues and expenditures. We've gone through their request, and we've looked at it, and we've verified these numbers. They have $8.9 million of revenues. When you include the expenditure of the CMS, they have $11.1 million of expenditures, showing the negative fund balance of the $2.295 million. That's broken up between the 2.152 for their CMS costs, and the remaining is their funding shortfall. They did include all of the information except for a plan to address ongoing shortfalls. If you recall, the council required as part of their application to provide a plan as to how they would avoid this shortfall going forward. The intention was is that we wouldn't be approving this and expecting them to come back next year with funding requests, but rather demonstrate to the council a plan to bring their budget into alignment. So again, we have looked at the total, all the numbers as reported in the financial systems, their HR systems, and we do concur with their funding need. When you account for the fact that they add the $2.2 million of CMS costs into their request, which they can describe and how they arrived at those numbers. So we have recommendations for you to consider as part of this process. Number one is we do recognize that based on their expenditures as proposed, they will have a $2.29 million negative fund balance. The options are to deny the request, and the court can address the implications of that. Secondly, based on the criteria that were established by the council, we could recommend an option of funding their contribution, which is $94,000, to the 2% pot.
A question before we hear from the specific courts. How many requests did the committee receive for urgent funding? And well, that's the first question.
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Well, I mean, you're certainly free to answer it, but maybe I can short-circuit that. They received three other requests, and those went through executive and planning. Staff had reviewed those and determined, and executive and planning determined that they didn't meet the criteria. So those three other courts were not placed on the agenda. I, as chair, was delegated the responsibility to call each of them and explain to them why they weren't on the agenda. So we made the decision if they didn't meet the criteria, then they wouldn't be placed on the agenda for the discussion.
I would add this, Chief, that of the requests that we did receive, notwithstanding whether they were reviewed or not, three of the five that we did get all related to case management systems. So clearly there's an issue in terms of how the branch funds case management systems, be it locally or through statewide funds. So I say that that's an issue we have to address.
Thank you. Judge Kaufman.
Justice Miller, I think just to clarify is that the decision not to go forward those requests was based was made by E&P.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. No other organization.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the council, Judge Jarb. My name is James Laporte. I'm the presiding judge of Kings County Superior Court. Accompanying me is Steve Barnes, who is our computer expert. He's also about to become the incoming assistant presiding judge in January. The reason why you have two trial judges here is because when I did the layoffs and the various problems with reference to job shares and furloughs in July, I didn't anticipate we'd be present before your body, and I happened to have the financial people either laid off or they are job sharing or they're furloughed today. So maybe in December, if this matter comes up again, you'll have an opportunity to hear from them. I can tell you that we do have a budget shortfall. We had about $550,000 of our reserves taken through the $235 million reductions. The $94,000 will allow us to make up a piece of that particular arrangement. We've already furloughed all of our employees 27 days a year. Closed a courtroom, closed a courthouse in Lemoore, which was one of our four. we have a job share for our top CEO and assistant CEO of 40 days per year. We have other solutions to be able to take care of our financial problems. Essentially, we're down to about $140,000, and $94,000 would be go a great way toward filling that particular gap. We also anticipated, although I know it's deferred until January, getting a share of the $43,000 from the Phoenix system. It would be our share if it was sent back to us. And also, we were anticipating getting about $40,000 from the court reporter's fees. But I understand that's going to be a deferred issue until January. In any event, option two is the option we favor, and we're hoping that the council would be willing to grant us that particular proposal. We also can discuss the CMS problem we have. We've been working on that particular problem for about a decade with the various members of the administrative office staff. We, like many other courts, have been relying upon a V4 solution. We've met with Judge Herman and others over the years, and now we're at the point in which the county has told us that they're going to close our options of running any CMS system. Unless we want to pay them a great amount of money. Specifically, they've told us that they're going to be migrating off the mainframe by either the first part of 2014 or the end part of 2014, and then we will be relegated to a situation in which we will be running the mainframe ourselves. Unfortunately, the system is run through a COBOL system, and the people who ran that program for the county retired, and finding COBOL programmers is not an easy situation. So what we really did is we went out for a request for proposal for three vendors to possibly run our own system. We have proposals. We can award those contracts with the vendors, but we are not going to sign any contracts unless we have any money to do that. So that's the status that we're in, and the amount of money that we're proposing is the amount of money that we believe would be necessary to be able to fund the CMS system. I'm also aware that there are various other options that are being proposed, sort of a statewide solution. We don't have a whole lot of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge LaPorte. David Yamasaki.
Thank you, Chief. Judge LaPorte, Judge Barnes, good morning.
Good morning.
I can certainly empathize for the struggles that your court is going through right now, and in fact, it's similar to what a lot of courts are going through right now, and the fact that the branch is just simply underfunded. I was privy to a document that was assembled as it related to the fiscal condition, cash condition, that many courts are in this year. And in reviewing that information, it reflected 14 courts that were going to be running out of money to basically meet their obligations this year. And that, in turn, had required many of them to change their spending patterns in order to balance out. So the question is really a two-part question. And I think the amount, if you set aside the case management system, identifies $143,000 difference. Perhaps part of that is going to be addressed with Phoenix, if in fact that moves forward, as we hope. But it's about $100,000 that is left. Would making some cost-saving decisions today to finish out the year, is that something that's being contemplated? And if so, would that then in turn put your court in a position of being balanced going into next year?
Certainly. What we already did is the items I described. We closed a courthouse. We've furloughed our employees 27 days per year. We already started in July. The CEO and the assistant CEO are essentially on a layoff status. 40 days a year, they're receiving unemployment insurance benefits. We have tranches of layoffs proposed. We've already done one tranche in August. We have another one scheduled in November. We have another one scheduled sometime next spring. And that's how we plan on attempting to make sure that we end in the black. The $94,000 would be going a long way toward assisting us so that we wouldn't have to lay off as many people.
Judge Jacobson, then Judge Herman.
I have a motion to approve option two, $94,000.
Second.
I'd second.
Second. Second, Justice Baxter, Judge Herman.
Further discussion, Madam Chief?
Yes, Judge Brandlin, and then Judge Baker.
I know that there are a lot of factors that the Judicial Council needs to look at in evaluating these requests. And I suspect that we have two courts before us, and there are 56 other courts that are watching to see what happens today, not only with regards to the requests that occur before October the 1st, but also those that ask for funds in addition to the 2% contribution level. And I guess what I'm going to suggest is that for additional courts that look to the Judicial Council for additional funding need to be able to show they've done what they can to operationalize some of the reductions that they're faced with. And I think this is probably the hardest thing that we as a council are going to be faced with, is to decide how to prioritize these requests, particularly when we have so many meritorious requests and limited amounts of funds. And it's just a comment. I think that option number two is probably the appropriate option here. But I think that in the future, we're going to be faced with even more difficult decisions.
I'm sorry, Judge Herman, then Judge Baker.
Yeah, I'm acutely aware, as you know, Judge LaPorte, of your issue with your case management system. I mean, this really is a poster child for what we're going to be facing in broader policy terms, that is, keeping the electronic courthouse doors open, because you really can't operate without a case management system, and they are in a critical mode as far as that case management system is and Jody Patel knows that very well. She's worked with that court for a significant period of time trying to resolve this. And you know, I'd just like some detail on the cost of the case management system and whether with if the council approved the $94,000, if that's going to get you to the position where you can at least get in contract with the. That's my question.
But it would not. It excludes the case management system. We're just talking about staying in the black this year. The problem with the case management system is well in excess of our ability to pay in any event. We have three options. One of the options is to take over the county system, which would increase our costs in excess of $500,000 a year. One other option is to essentially decide that we're going to go back to older systems that existed in the 1970s. We'd do things by pen and paper, and then we'd use the modern system of, I guess, scanning some of the documents in have a record. So those are the options we thought about. The $94,000 would not go toward any availability of us contracting with any entity. When we had the money in our reserve funds last year, we anticipated we might be able to enter into contracts, but that was eliminated this year.
Judge Baker, then Judge McKay.
Thank you, Chief. I support the motion. I would suggest, however, a friendly amendment to include two conditions that are discussed elsewhere in the report, namely that a written report be submitted on the use of the funding received no later than August 1, 2013, and also that the funding be used for the purposes addressed in the application.
That sounds friendly to me.
Okay, so you accept those. Those are found on...
I do.
They're under recommendation number 3 on page 2 of the item. Judge McCabe.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, Judge LaPorte, Judge Barnes. Nice seeing you. The distinction I want to make is that the negative fund balance is created not by an intentional spending, but the result of the Superior Court being uninvited on the county system. Quite frankly, it boggles the mind that you would go to an older system than Cobalt. It sounds like, in reviewing all the paperwork, that Kings County has, in good faith, gone through the steps. They've structured as much as they can in reorganization. They're there by necessity. They're here today asking for additional funding, and part of it is out of their control. It's the county, for a variety of reasons, has disinvited them to the party, and they now need to incur substantial sums to take over a new system, a case management system. So for those various reasons, I would urge this council to support the motion.
Judge Hardcastle.
Chief, I just wanted to make an observation that while they were making their presentation, I went on their court website and noted 6 days ago they had a garage sale of their surplus furniture. So I just wanted to make an observation. It's a pretty sad state of affairs that they're having a garage sale to try and fund the courts.
Thank you. Judge Elias.
Just looking at the guidelines, and I understand you need money. I mean, the whole branch needs money. These are not good times. But one of the criteria was that there was one-time unavoidable, and the comment was made here that they didn't see a plan as to what was going to happen like next year. And how is this not going to be a reoccurring thing, which was in the guidelines that this would not be a reoccurring?
Right.
And that really hasn't been addressed.
Sure. In terms of our budget without the CMS problem, we would anticipate we were going to be doing more layoffs next.
Judge LaPorte, are you on the cough button by any chance?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a mute button. Sometimes we put an elbow on it by accident.
I'm sorry. At any event, so what we'd be doing is we would probably be doing more layoffs next July. Our CMS problem is a separate problem that has existed for almost a decade.
Right, that's why it's not. I'm talking about the guidelines as being a one-time unavoidable budget shortfall.
That's right.
The idea that there's supposed to be a plan as to how it's not going to.
Right.
Why we're not going to see you back again next year.
That's right. The solution we have is that, as I've noted, we're going to do a series of layoffs. Of course, the other situations, we have two more courts that we can close, and that's an option. I suspect that starting next July, if there's no change in fiscal situation, will be about $900,000 in debt. But then almost every other court in the state will be in exactly the same circumstance. But what we're talking about for the $94,000 is making sure that we'd be able to get through this fiscal year. The other issue that we are also addressing is the CMS system, which has been a long-term problem. And we think that if we're able to pay, if we're actually able to contract with a vendor, we would solve that particular problem for our court. We wouldn't be back on that issue.
All in favor of option two as amended by Judge Baker, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Judge Laporte.
Thank you very much.
Judge Barnes, sorry to hear this devastating news, and we wish you the very best. And please stay in contact with us.
Right,
thank you.
I would just point out, Chief, if I may, this is a dilemma that we need to do some thinking about. And
yes.
You know, not just on the technical front, but on other fronts where courts are at risk in terms of being able to conduct their court functions because they can't make capital improvements because they're operating out of cash flow and a very limited reserve. I mean, this is going to be catastrophic in some situations, and then this I think is a poster child for that.
There hasn't been, but thank you for reminding me. We'll take Sam.
Could I also make a quick comment, Chief?
Yes.
Just the situation is very dire, but will be worse next year.
Mm-hmm.
The trial courts have been able to manage to get to this point through the use of fund balances. You can see there are only two courts at this point that have negative fund balances. I suspect that after the fund balances are exhausted, it's going to be much worse next year. And this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Thank you, Judge Elias.
And I agree with you. I think that's what's going to happen. And maybe we ought to, in compliance with the guidelines that we set last time, like have them actually come in with a written plan as to what they're going to do to remediate it so it will not be back next year, or else it will be ongoing with everybody. And some plan as to how we're going to address that as opposed to doing it piece by piece as we move along.
I think this is a critical piece that is significant to the trial court funding work group and the discussions to be had about the range of problems that the courts are facing. And I know you, Judge Elias, and you, Judge Rosenberg, serve with Judge O'Malley on that committee. So we will assist you with all the information you may need in going forward and making that part known about the trial courts.
And the point that Judge Herman made is not to be lost either. Ultimately, it's the legislature and the governor that have got to provide for the capital needs of the judiciary, just like they have to provide for the capital needs of the executive and the legislative branch. And there are some significant capital needs, as King's Superior Court has pointed out. When their case management system fails, they've got to have a case management system. Otherwise, they close down. So those are issues we have to address as well in these discussions.
Thank you. Next, we look to a presentation, I believe, from San Joaquin Superior Court.
Yes, Chief. The San Joaquin Court has requested a $2.1 million to address a negative fund balance they project by the end of the 12-13 fiscal year. If you recall, last year the council did approve a $2 million increase to the court. $1.084 million was provided to address urgent needs, and $916,000 was provided as a loan to help them through the fiscal year. The $2.1 million negative fund balance is comprised of two components. First is a planned expenditure of $436,000 to rehire 13 positions and $70,000 to end furloughs. The balance is basically a structural budget shortfall of $1.7 million. in a snapshot, we can see the total resources are $31.5 million. Based on current expenditure plans, they're $33.7 million, leading to this $2.2 million shortfall. Again, about $500,000 is associated with rehiring and ending furloughs, and the remainder is a structural budget shortfall of $1.7 million.
Thank you.
Similar to Kings County Court, they did provide all the information except for this plan to address the ongoing budget shortfalls. I would note that in approving last year's request, was a court assistance and review team appointed to go and help the court address their ongoing shortfall budgetarily and operationally. In terms of the options that we have before you and consistent with the guidelines, the procedures approved by the council, you may deny the request, or you may approve the funding level at the amount that they contributed to the 2% pot of $442,000. I would note that the court did offer two additional recommendations as part of their comments to the report. One was to allocate the $442,000, but immediately post this October 31st period, as required by law, allocate them the balance of the request, the $1.77 million in November, or they would ask that you make an exception to the process and allocate the full amount now. Again, that is not consistent with the approved council guidelines on this process.
Thank you. Good morning, Judge Werner.
Good morning. Chief Justice and members of the council, we're here seeking your assistance relative to our funding request. And what we are requesting is that you approve the $2.2 million request, which obviously is over and above the 2% reserve, which has been withheld from our budget. We're here because the council has been either unable or unwilling to fix what we view as a structural problem in funding trial courts as they relate to each other. Last year we were here, we received a temporary fix, and that's exactly what it was, a temporary fix. And we appreciate that because without it, we would have had to cut off certain case types last year. With that fix, we were able to keep cases up and running. Small claims wasn't running exactly on time, but close enough that the system was basically operating. We're back here again for a temporary fix because that structural funding problem has not been addressed and has not been fixed. If we receive this funding request, we're not made whole. We're not operating the way a court should operate, because I believe there's not probably a single court in the state at this point that is operating the way that it should operate. But it would at least allow us to do all of the case types that we have in our county. At this point, one of the questions that comes up is, so what are you going to do to fix this problem? It needs to have the structural funding problem addressed by the council and repaired to some type of a case-based system so that one court that does a certain number of cases receives the same funding as another court that's doing the same number of cases, rather than one of those receiving millions and millions and millions, and I'm not exaggerating there, of dollars more to do the same caseload. That's not appropriate. We hope at this point that the new trial court funding working group that the governor's created may help solve that problem or push that issue along. We've done what the council has asked us to do. We went through the CART process a year ago, and it was a valuable process, and we came back in June. We're here and discussed that process at some length. We have found some inefficiencies that we can make better. We've found some areas where we can increase revenues through civil assessments. But understand, when we look at that model of civil assessments, our civil assessment collections have been going down, not up. Not because we haven't imposed them, but because of the economic conditions that exist in our county. Civil assessments are going down, and what we're really trying to do is catch back up to where we were. But we've done what the council has asked us to do. In the CART report, the one thing that stuck out to me was there was no silver bullet. There was nothing said that, well, if you'll just do this, you'll pick up $1 million or $2 million or whatever you need to bring yourself above the waterline and be in the black. It simply wasn't there. A year ago, we laid off 44 staff and then got emergency funding in December, so we were able to bring two of those back, and we were able to keep small claims up and running. The present status for our court is this. In August, in light of the cuts, we laid off 13 more staff. Not counting grant staff, we have about a dozen grant staff. We went down to 237 regular staff. And what we realized immediately was we can't operate. We're no longer able to do all the case types. Beginning September 1st in our county, if you file a small claims action, it's literally stuck in a box. And I get letters and calls from people saying, are you kidding me? You know, is this a joke? Are you doing some grandstanding here? And I tell them I have to have staff to process these cases. And there is a critical level, and I've come to the conclusion for our court, given our caseload, that's 250. And when we dropped below it, we had to start cutting off case types, and we stopped small claims. Here's the worst problem. That's not enough. Even where we're at right now, we're not getting the cases done. We're going to have to start to cut into other civil cases in order to balance that workload and the caseload that we have. So that's the status of where we're at right now. If the council approves the $442,000, the amount that was withheld from our budget, as was with the 2% that everybody had withheld, at that point, we will have to lay off an additional, if we don't get the $2.2 million, only get the $442,000, we'll lay off an additional 22 staff, and we'll close up Lodi. We've already closed Tracy completely. Lodi is down to one court. We'll close it up, and that'll leave us just with Manteca as an outlying branch. At that point, we will not only not do small claims, we will stop doing civil. There will be no civil cases in San Joaquin County. You can file it. We'll stick it in a box, and good luck with that. That's where it'll sit. I have to have the staff to move those cases along. In addition to that, we'll be stopping a good part of probate. We've decided that there are some probate conservatorships that are life and death situations that you have to have, and some family law relative to children. And that'll be it. Here's what's worse. At that point, we'll start to cut into traffic because we will not have enough staff. We only have 9 civil staff as it is. And I just said we have to lay off another 22. If we do that, not only do we start to stop traffic, we start to stop the civil assessment generator that the CART program said, or CART team said, let's get this in place and help you try to boost your revenues. We'll be shooting ourselves in the foot. But the reality is, if you don't have the staff, you can't do the cases. And we've dropped below that critical level. I believe our county is a special situation brought about by historical, chronic, significant underfunding and a funding mechanism that this council controls, which has not been fixed, and that's led to the situation that we're in. The money is available to approve that $2.2 million request. The 75% is about roughly $21 million that's available. And I realize that there will be a lot of demands on that. But this council has the authority, and I believe this council has the responsibility, to fund our county enough to a minimum level so that we can get the cases done. And that is our request this morning, that you fund the request beyond the $442,000 that was withheld to the $2.2 million being requested. I'd like to end with just one comment, because I end up in discussions with this, and I've heard this a little bit today. Every court is going through the significant financial impacts. We're all dealing with that. And so you'll hear about, well, layoffs are being made, furlough days are being imposed. And one of our requests says to eliminate furloughs that we now have in place and to bring back those 13 people who were laid off. And you say, well, if we're all laying people off, why are you bringing them back? Because we're no longer getting the cases done. When we laid off those 13 people and imposed on the unrepresented staff the furloughs, that, to me, was a critical point where we were no longer able to service the cases. And again, I get comments, I've gotten letters, and I won't go into the details of what they say. They can't actually be repeated here, that criticize us for doing that and think that this is some kind of a grandstand to come into you, or most of them refer to us running to the state to get more money. It's not. At 250, we can't get our cases done. And we need the 250 employees and staff to get the work done. So I'm urging you in the strongest terms that I can to approve that $2.2 million request. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Judge O'Malley.
Hi, Judge Warner. Good morning. You had mentioned that you were doing the civil assessments and that the revenues coming in from that had dropped. I'm thinking of the return to court program, where if somebody doesn't appear on a traffic ticket, then they're assessed by the court. Is that the type of program that you're instituting? Because I know that's tried and true for a lot of courts, and that's helping many, many courts with similar populations as your court. I'm wondering if that's the same program you're talking about.
Let me explain one thing, and then I'll let Rosa address that as well. We've always had since there's been a civil assessment program, we've had that in place. Part of what the CART process brought out was there are some areas that you're not using the civil assessment, then you can. And if you use that, it could help increase your revenue. Exclusive of that, I'm saying we've had a revenue stream from civil assessments. That revenue stream is decreasing dramatically. Not because we're not imposing it. The economic conditions of the county are that it's just not getting paid. We're hoping that the new civil assessment that we will be putting in place after going over the CART assessment will maybe bring that back up to where it was. But the hope when CART was there was that we would be at a level of income, or revenue maybe I should say, and that we would increase that. Now we're hoping it can just bring us back up to where we were.
I thought I'd read, and maybe it was in the August kind of report when you were going through each of the CART recommendations, where I thought I read that you didn't have judicial buy-in with regard to that assessment, that the judges didn't want to impose it, and that was kind of my last understanding of what was going on with that part of that recommendation.
If I can respond to that, Judge O'Malley, there were two separate recommendations in the CART summary report. One recommendation was to implement a civil assessment program on failure to pays. Mm-hmm. That is something that we are working on. It is in progress. We have a very similar case management system that King's is using today, COBALT. Takes a lot of programming. We're not even sure that we're going to be able to implement that kind of a program automatically with a case management system. Forget trying to do a manual process. We're stuck if we can't get the programming completed. The second part of in answer to your question is about a return to court policy.
Right.
Yes, so that is a separate recommendation. We are also in the process of working on a return to court policy. Recently, there was and my colleague CEOs will remember this too, there was an inquiry among the CEOs about a return to court policy. Who has a policy in place? And there wasn't a lot of activity. So there's a lot that is something that we all can work on. And it is one that we will continue to work on. It is one of the items in the CART report that we continue to work on is in progress.
So is that the one where you had problems with the buy-in?
No. Let me address that question, Judge O'Malley. One of the things that we did as soon as CART was completed, well, really even before it was completed, after discussions, we started talking about, so what are we doing and looking at it and what fees are being imposed. It is a sensitive subject, and I think rightly so, with the bench of, and this is an accurate statement, many times in traffic court, you're no longer dispensing justice. You're collecting your budget. That's what you're doing. Yeah. And there's been a rather heated discussion amongst our bench at how far do you go in that regard? When do you say to the person handling the traffic calendar, you will impose X? If you decide it really needs to be $100, then maybe you need to make it $100 civil assessment and rather than something else. And there are bench officers who say that's not right and that, quite frankly, that's downright unethical. And so you have to be careful in how you discuss that, how you bring people along in that effort, and quite frankly, and who's assigned to traffic court. That's not the way it should be, but I would say that's not got the resistance. It's one of those things that you have to put it out there.
Yeah, these are folks that just don't, they blow off their ticket. They don't come to court. So we have to expend court services get them to court. Mm-hmm. Not kind of the same person in court who wants a break on their fee.
And I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah, okay.
But the issue becomes if you look at a particular case and say, I've decided in this case, and I'm just picking this, $100 is the right amount to fine. How do I allocate that? Because it has a lot of difference in how it impacts us. But there is, judicial buy-in is coming, and but I think there's a legitimate discussion and concern over, are you dispensing justice or balancing your budget? And that's been a difficult discussion that we've had in our bench.
Judge Kaufman?
I think, Judge Warner, that there are so many people at this table who weren't here when we started. Correct me if I'm wrong, is CART stood for, Jody, what did CART stand for?
Court Assessment Review Team.
And basically four or five CAOs went to San Joaquin, mm-hmm. spent a day or two, and did a report.
It was more than that.
Okay.
They brought a lot of, it was a big effort.
Alan Carlson yes. was there, mm-hmm. David Yamasaki was there, mm-hmm.
Kim Turner, Kitty Torrey, and Mike Planet.
Yes. And Mike Planet. I mean, Jody.
And me.
And Kitty.
So and each of them brought a number of their staff in a particular area.
So we as a council saw, I think, were we the regional director then?
Yes, it was. The effort was led by the regional office in Sacramento. Okay.
So we did a full court press, so to speak, mm-hmm. at San Joaquin, said, we know you have a problem. Let's figure out what the problem is and identify the issues and come up with some solutions. And I believe you came up with like 90?
59. Hmm? Excuse me, Your Honor.
There are
59 recommendations.
We know the number.
I know.
I thought there were more, but okay, so whatever the number is. And then I know some of us revisited. I know Judge So, Judge myself, and Judge Rosenberg met with you, and then other people came and we talked. So of the 59 recommendations that you didn't dig that deep. It was just a kind of a...
We only had 2 or 3 days.
2 to 3 days. Of the 59 recommendations that they made... How many have you, where are you in terms of those 59
about
recommendations?
About 50%.
Okay. And how that started when, about 6 months ago?
No.
June.
The report came to the council in June, on June 22nd, I believe, of this year.
We got the report, and it was a typical process for the council. It came, we made comments, so it went back and forth a few times, but it was completed in June.
And one other question is, you have 30, 32 judges?
31 bench officers.
And how much staff?
250.
Really? So that's about eight staff per judge, right?
No, we got to exclude grant staff. We exclude grant staff.
Actually, that's correct. We're 237 staff.
We're allocated. We have 33 judicial officers. We have one vacant commissioner position.
But one thing that does ignore, because that question came up before, if you go to the judicial needs study and see how many judges should be there and plug in the number, it changes it dramatically. We should have like 47, and I don't think this is new around the system, but we've got 31 instead.
If you've implemented half 32. Of the recommendations, have you noticed a change? Have you noticed a change in income, a change in revenue? Or has it been a positive or negative? Where are you? And then also if you implement... The other 20 or 30, what will that do to your revenue stream, your income? I mean, and how long will it take you to get there?
Okay. Your Honor, we took, and I had staff spent considerable time on this, all the 59 recommendations, and I asked if this report had been done by the court assistance and review team, and the response I got was no. So I asked my staff to come in and do this. They looked at every single recommendation. I would categorize the recommendations in three parts. One, cost savings. Change the way you do your business in a certain area, the way you process a case type. You'll achieve some cost savings there. Two, additional revenues. Impose these new fees, civil assessment being one of those, on failure to pays. And you'll gain additional revenues. And three, expense. Literally, there were several recommendations that required us to spend money. So when we assess all of those components, all of those recommendations, we came out with a net cost of $317,000. Now, when we look at what we have done to date in implementing 49% of the recommendations, we're coming up with about an $83,000 savings. We have done everything we possibly can to this point, given the limited resources that we have. We will continue. We have several items that are in progress, and we expect to complete about 22% of the remaining items within the next 6 months.
What will that do to your revenue stream? Would that increase your revenue? What do you think?
I believe it will increase the revenue, but I don't have an exact amount because some of those are dependent on programming, some fees, some new fees, and when we actually will begin to start seeing those revenues come in. You know, when you begin to implement a new program, it's going to take several months before you actually see the benefits of those new programs and new fees.
Judge Kaufman, I think we will see increases. I think they will be, in the overall scope, will be hard to pick out exactly where they're at. I had much higher hopes for civil assessments than so far has panned out, but I didn't realize at the time the CART process was going on how dramatically the revenue from them were already dropping off, and I didn't realize it at that point. So some of them may be a matter of they'll keep us from sinking further, but we're struggling to try to quantify those things. But I think there will be an increase. I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay. So I just want to civil assessment, and we did identify this in our request, our supplemental funding request. In 2009-2010, our civil assessment revenues were $817,000. In 11-12, they were only $267,000. They have decreased over $500,000.
And I think that's an economic matter, not a county economic matter, not a failure to impose the civil assessment.
One of the biggest differences for my county was that return to court program. We saw revenues within the year. It really does make a difference. I can't stress enough how much that's going to change the outlook of your court.
That one we are working on as we speak.
As fast as you can. That is, you will see those revenues in a year.
Oh, yeah. Alan Carlson and Judge D'Alba.
A couple of questions. So, There was an issue earlier that we talked about, the vehicle code 40508.6, the $10 on subsequent things. Mm-hmm. And the survey says that you're not collecting that at all on the subsequent.
Correct. We are collecting it on the first one, on the A. We are collecting it on the subsection A, but we're not able to collect it on the subsection B.
You reported zero on the survey. The survey to the AOC on 40508A.
There's two subsections. We're
right?
collecting it on the one.
This says you're not.
No, we are collecting it on one. Yes.
Because, you know, other courts, that's a quarter or a half million a year on the table if you're not collecting it on the
one of the
subsequent.
We're collecting it on the B, not the A. So we are collecting it on one of them. And again, in order for us to collect it on the other would require a change in the case management system to the programming. And, of course, we're talking a system that was written in COBOL once again.
But looking at other size courts, Stanislaus is collecting $500,000 a year. Solano's collecting $500,000 a year. Ventura's collecting $270,000 a year. I got to think it's not costing you that much to change the case management system to pick up a quarter to a half million a year.
But we're talking about a system that was written in COBOL 30 years ago. Yeah.
It is something that has to be corrected. But one of the problems we run into, I guess we're the opposite of Kings. We don't go to the county to get some of these changes made. And I remember when this wasn't an issue of increase of income. It was a matter of redistribution of some of the funds. And we waited, it was a good 6 months, to get programming changes back from the county so we could implement that. And in some cases, we're told we may not be able to make that change that you're seeking. So we will do that. There's no reason not to do that. But we don't have in-house the ability to change and get those fees put in place.
So didn't the county people just testify on behalf? Hopefully they heard that maybe this could be expedited to pick up half of what you need, maybe? So,
I think it will. No. I can't let that. We're not going to pick up $1 million.
I didn't say $1 million.
Okay.
Half of 2.2 million I'm looking for is 1.1. But here's the problem. I absolutely agree, whether it's a nickel or $5 million, we need to go after it. No question. What I have had quite an eye-opener for is the economic conditions of the county causing some of those revenue streams to shrink already. So my thought that they're going to equal a Ventura, Stanislaus ought to be pretty close. They might not want to be putting San Joaquin County into their boat, but pretty close. But Ventura and some others, I just don't think we're going to see the same, even Solano's.
Same area, same population.
But so it doesn't matter to me whether it generates a nickel or a million. You go after it either way. But there are, it's a process to get any kind of change made to the system that we're on. A difficult process. And I agree, the county's here listening to it. And if we don't end up with traffic, it's even bigger problem.
So, and then you already brought this up. I was going to raise this. If you look at the judgeship needs, and we had a matter earlier on our agenda, you're at 77% of what you should have.
Right.
Not a great number. In the middle of the pack, though.
Right. There are other statewide courts are dealing with that.
Stanislaus is only 72%. Ventura is only 71%. The good ones here, Riverside's only 60% of what they need. San Bernardino's 58% of what they need. None of them are closing down small claims or other case types. And you're higher than they are on judgeships, according to what you need, relative to what you need.
The problem in closing small claims is not a matter of insufficient judges. I don't have the staff to get the piece of paper into a file and down to the court. And if we cut further, there won't be a civil staff, period. I've got enough judicial officers. My point was, if you're comparing and saying you've got 8 or 8.1 staff per judicial officer, we need to make sure we're comparing it the same. Because if somebody that's saying that, and I'm not suggesting you are, but if somebody is 100% funded, those numbers are going to change. I'm just saying that we're the 30, I think I said 31, but it's 32 officers. It should be much higher. And if another court's in the same point, then the comparison would be the same.
But none of these other ones are here asking for money. Stanislaus is a good example.
I know. I can't speak to their budget. Yeah. I can tell you this. Last year when we were here and the comment was made that if we continue down the road without getting the funding, we would stop small claims, we had judicial officers telling us, fit them in. We'll hear them. And I told them, it's not a problem of not enough judges. I've got to be able to get the paperwork down there, a file down to your court to hear. And at some point, we don't have that. Now, that stayed that in December because we got that funding. So it didn't happen. But this year, there was just no question. And I don't think I realized until we laid the people off that, you know, you keep thinking somehow you'll pull a rabbit out of the hat. It does not work. And I walk around and look. This isn't people sitting around talking and looking for something to do. In fact, I would say our clerks are the opposite. We're burning them up and burning them out. There's bad morale every day, and this may be in every court, but it's like we can have a job, not have a job. Mm-hmm. As we have shrunk the staff down and the workload can't be done, pretty soon you have people calling in sick, and it makes a bad situation worse, not better.
So, Judge D'Alba, and then
thank
David
you,
Yamasaki.
Chief. Point of information, Slotko, I think my comment or question would be directed to you. I find this in the source of my question in the staff analysis on page 12, in the first paragraph. And it relates to the last application that was made by San Joaquin when we gave San Joaquin and San Francisco some assistance. Those funds, as noted here in the report, came from the Trial Court Improvement Emergency Needs Reserve. And what I remember was at the time, in December of last year, whatever it be, there was a summary of that fund provided to us of how many applications over the last decade, for example, how many expenditures annually, et cetera. And I had an impression, and maybe it was just that, that fund rolled over, so to speak. And is that true? And do we still have this trial court improvement reserve? I realize this application is to the 2% under the trial court trust fund. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to the Trial Court Improvement Fund?
The Trial Court Improvement Fund was merged with the MOD Fund, and that authority to make allocations for urgent needs was removed from that code section, and it was replaced with this process in which you collect this 2% from the allocations, create this pot, and then make urgent needs allocations. So the statute changed from the time that we did this in October, where we had this fund and this process, and we could have used the improvement fund balance. Now the process is statutorily changed so that we're working out of the trust fund and this 2% amount that the law provides for. So it's the circumstances have changed since we were doing this last year.
David Yamasaki, then Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you. So I wanted to go back to a point that Judge D'Alba had mentioned about last year's allocation. In reading the information, it appeared that there was still approximately $900,000 that is available, and the purpose of which was to assist in implementing some of the programming changes that were needed, and is not identified as part of the fund balance here. So, question, is it in fact there?
Yes.
Question, okay.
What happened with that is there were really two parts to the request, or at least two parts to the what was decided a year ago. Part was about $1 million went into the operating fund to actually operate. The other $916,000 was to create a reserve, which at the time we were having reserves until the state changed that. And so it was done as a loan. So it is still there, but it's a loan that we pay back. So it sits there. And of course, some people suggest, well, you ought to just spend that. It's an emergency time. That may be, but we've had situations. For example, we had a credible threat made on a judge's life, and we got a bill of about $500,000 for security costs. We came to the AOC and were told, you have a balance, you need to pay that. And so we paid it. Not from the 916, this was the year prior. But so our view is that that's a reserve fund that sits there and that we have to pay back. It was made as a loan.
It remains on our budget as a liability because it's technically a loan.
Sure.
But it is there, to answer your question.
But I understand that loan, if that's the appropriate representation, is something that's not expected to be paid back right away.
5 years.
Perhaps 5 years, I think, is the timeline that we had discussed.
No interest.
So, obviously, the whole purpose of that, in my view, was to assist in the implementation of some of these programming changes, which would require one-time monies. So, hopefully, that is continuing to be at least a consideration. The other thing is, as was mentioned, there were almost 60 recommendations that were made by the CART team. I would tell you that the participants in the CART team came from small, medium, and large courts from throughout the state, and their recommendations that were actually implemented in our respective courts, implemented successfully, that have created efficiencies, that have generated local revenues, and collectively it amounts to quite a bit of money. And while we can look at one or two of them, I think you have to take a look at all of them to determine if they would address some of the big gaps in funding that you're suggesting as possible solutions, if not now, certainly in the near term. But I just hope you appreciate that these were not hypothetical suggestions. These are things that you'll find in operation in all of our courts every single day. And if we didn't implement them.
Attached to our request is the CART, kind of an update on CART, where we are in the process. Let me just say, there's none of them that we've said, you know what, they just didn't know what they were doing. We're looking at all of them. We're about 50% through them since June. And some of them we gave short-term implementation. Some were medium and some were longer term. But we're looking at all of them and implementing them as fast as we can. And relative to the 916,000, if council says, look, use that money, it's no longer a loan, use it, that reduces what our request is. Our belief is that because that's money that we need to pay back at some point, we need to pay it back at some point. The concept back in December of a year ago, before we heard the budget news from the governor, was you need to have a reserve. There's your reserve. And then the governor's changed how we look at reserves these days, but that's how it was created and why it was created and was made as a loan. So we still view it as something we have to keep to pay back if that becomes necessary.
Judge Rosenberg, then Justice Miller.
I was about to make a motion, but before I do that, let me just say thank you, Judge Warner, for your presentation. I don't think we are in a position here at the Judicial Council to micromanage or give you suggestions or tell you how to run your court. The CART team gave you a whole range of options from a very experienced group of folks, and you know, you are well served to follow up and implement and deal with those. But I do want to say two things. One, frankly, to address some of the public speakers. There is a requirement in California that we have a superior court in each and every county. But there is no requirement that we have a superior court in each and every city. I know that my court, about a decade ago, when we were in economic good times, decided to close a number of courts in communities and brought all Superior Court functions back to the county seat. And sure, it's inconvenient in many ways for people to drive 10 miles or 20 miles, but it was a significant cost-saving measure that has served us well over the years. So that's just the way it is, you know, in California today. And secondly, do we have a structural funding problem in California? Yes, we do. We certainly do, and that will need to be addressed and has to be addressed. But I don't think a court can constitutionally constitutionally say, we're just going to close small claims, or we're just going to close down probate, or we're going to close civil or traffic. I don't think a court can do that. Will processing be a lot slower because of funding problems or staff problems? Yes, I'm sure it will be. But I think we are obligated to perform all the functions the law requires us to perform.
I couldn't agree more.
And I'd like to make a motion unless you'd like to make
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Looking at the total picture, I think option two at this time is the appropriate one. Other funding can be looked at later in the fiscal year, but I would move that we implement option two for San Joaquin.
Second. Second by Judge So. But I believe there's further discussion, and I'll ask the judges and the attorneys who've asked to speak whether they'd like further discussion. Justice Miller.
Well, I just have a comment. In essence, Justice Rosenberg summarized most of what I wanted to say, but I wanted to take it one step further, and that is that I also believe, as Edith Mathias said many times, that there is a constitutional and a moral obligation to have all of the different disciplines that exist within the Superior Court, and that if the intent is to close those, then I think as a council, as a governing body, then we need to decide what that next step is that we would have to take, and that maybe as part of that motion, or maybe it doesn't need to be part of it, that we ask administrative director to provide us with some legal opinion in that regard so that we know how to prepare for that. And I agree, we can dance around the funding all we want, and I'm hoping the working group will be able to come up with a resolution in that regards. But I think our criteria are what our criteria are, and that at least for today's purposes, that's what we're limited to. So I am in support of option number two. But I was here when the past request was made, and my recollection was as the loan was, in essence, to kind of be a stimulant to try to look at ways that you could expend that money and then in the next 5 years come up with a method to repay that. So I am encouraging you to take that $916,000 and use it and defer a significant point of that 2.1 and adopt the CART and other methods and come up with a method that allows for that repayment. or someday come back to us and continue to explain why you can't repay that fund so that we can deal with it.
Judge Herman, then Judge So, then Edie Mathai.
I agree with those comments, but I just want to clarify with Zlatko. I think what you're saying, because of the change in the legislative context, we're not in the position we were in last year where we can say, okay, we can meet your need by writing a check for the whole amount you request. We're really restricted at this point, are we, to essentially option two or option one?
Option two is based on the council adopted procedure and how the 2% is to be distributed.
Right.
But that's just our council approach. I mean, in terms of the pot of money, there's $27 million, 75% of which is available for allocation during the month of October, and then the balance is available for distribution up until March 15th. But in terms of the last year's money in that 916, that's money that is at the court, and it was provided to them as Justice Miller has described. So they can spend the money, but it begs the question, what does that mean for the loan 4 years from now? Because we had approved that loan with the five-year payback.
Judge So.
I have two questions. Are your filings down?
Yes.
By how much?
Overall, 44%.
All right. So we have fewer cases. Do you impose civil assessments on failures to pay traffic fines?
No, that is the program that we're currently working on, along with the program that Judge O'Malley suggested as the return to court policy.
All right. Because I would suggest that most of the courts in this state do that, mm-hmm. and their revenues are significantly increased. And, I mean, one of the reasons, one of the questions that's going to be continually asked is, why isn't that implemented?
Ms. Mathai.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions as well. As I understand the request, there is a desire to rehire staff that has been laid off.
That's correct.
Every court in this state, well, I shouldn't say it quite that, but I know there are numerous courts in this state that have been forced to lay off and have been forced to handle their caseload at a reduced ratio of staff to bench officers.
That's correct.
Counting, I ran it several times in the differing numbers of how many bench officers, but I still come out over 7.4 staff to bench officer ratio at the 237 staff number that you have now. It is my understanding that that is a number that is not below what many courts are now having to operate at. And so I wonder if I'm at a loss as to whether there's a particular problem unique to your county that requires a higher staff ratio.
I don't know if I could, I'm not aware of anything that would justify that, but let me explain one thing on the staff ratio. The RAS model was developed to know how many people you needed to process the cases that you had. And the RAS model, which we now no longer want to touch because it's too old and the new one's not yet around, but that said, we were the most under-resourced court in the state. So there's a model there beyond our numbers that says you're the worst that there is. You get the worst funding of every trial court out there. And when we came in July of 2011, there was a discussion about that because that's the last time that I'm aware of that RAS model was used. Four courts were under 30% under-resourced. We were 37% under-resourced as compared to others. So I'm not sure how to square that with the judge-to-staff ratio or whether it's, again, this other need for increase of judges. I'm not sure I can answer that. But the RAS model, which doesn't single out a court somehow, but simply applies a formula of your caseload and the kinds of cases you have, says you're the worst. And we've been waiting for months for the new one. I hear that it's going to come out in December, but at meetings I've been at, that model's already been questioned, and it hasn't even gotten to the floor yet. So it takes away our ability to say, see, it's not, we don't have the proper funds to operate the court.
I don't know if there was a second to the motion, but I'll second.
Yes, but Then after Ms. Mathai is Judge O'Malley, and then Judge Kaufman.
I just wanted to follow up on something that Mr. Yamasaki said, and that was with the use of the $916,000, I mean, if that portion of that can be used to help integrate into your system as quickly as possible to help you with this return to court as well as the civil assessment. Again, I mean, as so many courts, not only around this table but otherwise, have seen revenues from that, I think that rather than, you know, absorb all that with 13 positions of clerks to help with files, that some of that money can be used to make you money in the future that's going to sustain you on a longer basis. So I would encourage, if you need the money for tech to be able to get that program for you to use that civil assessment, I would encourage you to do so.
If we get the 442 and use the loan money, even with that, we would still have to close Lodi and lay off 11 staff from where we're at now.
I get that, but again, that's been
I'm kidding. I'm just indicating what
Judge
it
Kaufman,
is.
Judge Kaufman, then we'll call
you
the
kind
question.
Of answered my question, but let me put it out there. And is that you have $900,000 in reserve that we gave you, what, last year?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now you want another 442. And you're going to use that. It's basically $1.3 million. What are you going to do with that money? What are you going to use it for? I'm just missing. It's me.
We have
you.
A deficit. Without bringing the 13 people back, we've got a deficit of $1.7 million.
So you're bringing 13 people back into what we were talking about. Now you have 250 staff, and you're over the statewide. I'm missing.
No. Wait. Well, my encouragement would be let's get a RAS model out, and then we can compare. We'll look at it and see.
I'm just missing. You tell me you need more staff, but you're higher than the statewide level.
Well, I don't know who's made the conclusion that we're higher than the statewide level. I'm not sure.
I've just taken an informal survey. I can tell you where I am, and I'm not a good comparison because such a small court. I think most courts around the state are operating at below 7 people per staff, per judge.
About 7. 8. 7, 8.
6. 6. So I'm just missing you. The point, yeah. And I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to be.
Right.
I'm just missing the mathematics that we give you more money, you hire more staff, and we still haven't solved the problem.
Judge Elias.
I just have a question. Maybe I misunderstood. Your filings, meaning the number of cases filed, are down 44%?
Across all case types.
Okay, well,
why do you need
doesn't that mean you need less staff?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's
the original RAS model said we should have 450. We don't need that because the case filings have gone down in the meantime. But even with where we were and the filings we had, which were lower last year, we were still 37%.
Are you down 44% from last year?
No.
From when?
In the last 4 years.
4 years. I believe it's since 2000.
Well, how about from last year to this year? Because you want to add back people, and I'm just curious, if the filings go down, doesn't that mean the staffing level goes down?
Sure.
But I think an important distinction is we've not had the kinds of staff resources that other courts have had because of our long-standing history of not having enough funds to have the kind of staff that we've needed to process the very serious case types that we have in our county.
She's talking about the numbers.
But it's not as simple as comparing doing a staff-to-judge ratio. Because a court that doesn't have the kind of felony case types that our court processes doesn't need as many staff resources as our court does. So you're not really comparing apples to apples. You have to get down and look at the level of cases that your court is having to deal with on a daily basis. The multi-codefendant, gang-related, interpreter kinds of cases that are special circumstance, and that is what our court has every single day.
Chief, Baker, I call for the question.
Thank you.
Our court does, too. Alameda County.
Okay, wait. So the question will be called after Baker and Ellsworth, who've indicated a...
Thank you, Chief. I agree with all the comments and support the motion. I would just offer again these accountability conditions that I think are important to include here, the same thing we did with Kings County, and this would be in the form of a friendly amendment, too. One, require submission of a written report on the use of the funds by August 1, 2013, and two, condition the use of the funds for the purposes addressed in the application.
I would accept the friendly amendment.
Thank you. And Justice Miller, you second that?
Yes.
Thank you. Judge Ellsworth, and then we'll call the question as made by Judge D'Alba.
Thank you. I'm just thinking between option one and two, I would favor option two, but I actually favor a third option, and that would be having now just found out about the $900,000, it seems provident or prudent to me that anyone who receives a loan for the purposes of looking at and putting in and augmenting their current way of doing business, essentially, it seems like that option three would be to delay this, to go ahead and let you put into place these the $900,000 and do what the loan was for initially, and then come back and look at whether additional monies are needed. It just doesn't seem to me that to sit on a loan of $900,000, what good is a loan if, in fact, it wasn't used other than to house it for 5 years to pay it back? And it's not a criticism. I know these are difficult times, and certainly, many counties are very stressed, but I'm not really sure that there's not really an option three, that being that you use the money that you've received in a loan that's now kind of in a safe deposit box, just sitting there not doing anything, and you use it to put into place programs and protocols that will not only help you to gain access to monies but efficiencies and other items. And then, rather than denying your request, we've done these following things. We've used that money, and now we'd like option two addressed. So I don't know if there is an option three, but I just see that we're sitting on money and not using it to put into place protocols that will really benefit your county. I mean, I understand this under-resourced thing. I got it a little bit. So I really empathize with the situation, but you're sitting on monies and I'm that need to be used to do some things. Thank you.
So you stated that. Are you making a substitute motion?
I would make that substitute motion at this
point. I would second.
Second.
I would
okay. Second. So there's option three, substitute motion.
Well, can we call it option five to avoid confusion, because we've seen an option three and an option four presented. And so, well, show the slide again.
Money.
That's theirs.
Pull them out.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay. I would say it would be option five.
Option five. Seconded by Judge Jacobson and Ms. Mathai.
And Ira.
And Judge Kaufman. As the substitute motion, it takes precedent over the first motion.
If it passes.
So as to the substitute motion.
I have a question about.
Yes, Commissioner.
Is there a problem if it's not approved by October 31st?
Mm-mm. No, it's until March.
We come back in at 4:42.
Yeah.
I thought
there was something in the procedures that we were supposed to decide.
Yeah, and you make the decision, but there still is a process post October to review and approve additional allocations.
Okay.
I'm just saying
there's no
problem.
As
they described in option three, that you could come back.
Isn't this just option one?
Exactly right. The substitute motion is actually implementing option one.
I read option five as deferring the decision with a report back on the use of the $916,000 loan. That's how I read it.
It is. That's correct.
Yeah, that's what I second.
So you're denying, but you're also denying
allocating the 442?
Well, by implication, it's also a denied request.
Deferring the 442.
Correct. So we're going to call it option five just for ease of understanding and report back.
That's what they're doing.
All in favor of option number five, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed, no.
Opposed, no.
Okay, so four opposed, matter carries. The four opposes are, did you get the four opposed?
Could I ask for a show of hands on the opposed, please? Judge D'Alba.
Baker.
Judge Baker.
Rosenberg. And Miller.
And Justice
Miller. A really fine group of distinguished jurists.
So we will, Judge Warner, Ms. Junquero, we will be expecting a report back as soon as you're able to indicate to us what we can the spending of the loan to implement the CART recommendations and other improvements to this court, and any amendment that may be necessary to the request originally made in before for this month for urgent needs.
Would be considered.
I don't know if that's enough.
Would that be, then that information would be considered the next public meeting?
Yes, if at all possible. December.
Yes.
I believe this concludes our agenda, and we conclude today's meeting with a brief remembrance of our judicial colleagues recently deceased. I'll name them: the Honorable John Alex, Superior Court of Trinity County; the Honorable Ronald Brown, Superior Court of Mendocino County; the Honorable Ollie Marie Victoire, Superior Court of San Francisco County; the Honorable Donald McCartan, Superior Court of Orange County; and the Honorable John Merrick, Superior Court of Los Angeles County. All were retired from the bench, and we honor them for their service to the courts and to the cause of justice. Next regularly scheduled Judicial Council business meeting, December 13th. Meeting is adjourned. Lunch in the back room, and transportation request directed to Nancy Spiro.